Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ. Good morning and welcome to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Grahn. I'm joined today again by Dale Maley. He is an author and a historian for the city of Fairbury. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we had you on yesterday talking about some really cool stuff from across the county. And what are we talking about today?
Today we're going to talk about a very interesting local character that caught the gold bug and went across in 1849 cross country to California and actually struck it rich. So this gentleman's name was William T. Stackpole. He was one of the most interesting characters of early Fairbury. During his lifetime, he was a gold prospector, pioneer, farmer, merchant, grain speculator, oil field worker, real estate salesperson, inventor, writer, publisher, and visionary. Just to give you an idea, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah, you've written about him in the past, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've written an autobiography about him. His first real adventure, though, was catching the gold bug from the 1948 California gold rush. So 21-year-old Mr. Stackpole and about 25 other men from Tazewell County, he was actually living in Tazewell County before Fairbury, they left on April 4th, 1849 for California. They had about 12 wagons pulled by oxen. They took cattle with them and horses. They usually went 16 miles a day. When they got to Gallatin, Missouri, one of the local residents said a few years ago they had big problems with the Mormons, and many of them were killed, and they put the dead bodies down that well right over there, he pointed out to him.
Oh, wow.
So I had to go do a little research, and sure enough, Mormons went to Gallatin, Missouri first. They got in some trouble there with some skirmishes and things. They actually backtracked to Illinois, back to Nauvoo. Eventually, Nauvoo, Illinois, got in trouble there and then moved out to Salt Lake City. So Mr. Stackpole faced death almost every day. You could get killed from a wagon accident crossing a stream or a river. You could drown. There was accidental shootings. Cholera could kill you in less than 48 hours. Often there were dead animals along the road, some from drinking from alkali water. There's graves scattered along the road. So he faced so much death daily, he actually wrote a poem. And it's kind of a neat little poem that he wrote. The poem is, "Rest in peace, thou lonely stranger, far from home and kindred laid, midst the quiet wilds of nature, thy last earthly home is made. Here thy golden hopes are brightest, all thy labors here are done. Here life's weary load is lighted, here ends thy journey to the setting sun. That dreadful scourge that souls that walks abroad amidst the busy haunts of men, even in this dark secluded wood, has found thee and marked thee for its own. There shall friends and kindred greet thee from thy long, long absence home. And there shall my sister's arms enclose thee, or mother's voice in loving welcome come. Above thy head the tall trees wave, and the wild birds around thee sing. Thousands will heedless pass thy grave, with noise of rolling wheels off will the forest ring. Rest in peace, thou lonely stranger, far from home and kindred laid. Amidst these mournful wilds of nature, thy last earthly home is made." So it's kind of a neat little poem for what he ran across. Mm-hmm. So he makes it to California. He strikes it rich in a short time period. He made somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 in today's dollars.
Wow.
Yep. But then he got sick himself, and he decides to head back to Tazewell County. So he takes a sailing vessel from San Francisco, and I thought he'd be going to Panama, but he actually went to Nicaragua. I got to remember the Panama Canal was not open until 1914.
Gotcha.
So there was no Panama Canal. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the map of the region, there's a narrow place across Nicaragua that you could go overland and then take a boat across a large lake and then walk to the Pacific side. So
wow.
He got to see some big active volcanoes. And I had to brush up on my international geography. I wasn't that familiar with Nicaragua and Panama. But I was actually able to trace his path through six towns in Nicaragua. Now, the diary transcription process, the diary, I found it still exists at Yale University Beinecke Research Library. It's 168 years old. So I contacted them. They scanned the 160 pages of the diary into computer files and emailed to me. And I consulted with some pen writing experts, and we think it was written with what's called a steel dip pen in longhand. Hmm. So one paragraph at a time, I did a little bit each day from November through January. but I could not decipher some of those words in longhand. They really stumped me. But Judy Wells, a retired school teacher, she was able to read many of those words. And I asked her how she could do that miraculously. And she said she had years of experience trying to read school kids' poor handwriting.
It all pays off, doesn't
it? I guess it pays off. She was really good at it. So I've written a new book, which includes the modern type text with comments and photos. It includes a sampling of the first 12 pages of the diary. And I'm going to donate paper copies of those to the Fairbury Domini Library, Echoes Museum, and then the Pontiac Library. So as of today, they're available if you want to buy a copy on Amazon as a Kindle ebook or a conventional paper book.
Very good.
So very interesting historical thing, 1849. It was really neat. And then my sister-in-law, Judy, she enjoyed reading it just for the adventure, the things that happened on the way out there.
Absolutely.
So, yes.
So you have a couple big things coming up we want to talk about a little bit, but they're not coming up for a little bit. Do you want to give us an idea
Sure.
of what you'll be doing coming up here in the next couple months?
Yeah. So I got the permission from the building owner to paint another building advertising sign in February. We've completed two of those, the Oxton Flower sign and the Swingin' Steininger sign. The last one is located a building or two west of the Chinese restaurant in Fairbury, and it's a hotel. Original name was the Archer House in the 1880s, and then later it changed names to the Sherman Hotel. So I'm going to do the older one, the 1880s one, which is the Archer House. And hopefully in May, when the weather gets nice, I'll be 40 feet back in the air painting another sign.
But in May, it's not going to be like 95, 105 like it has been the last couple of years when you've been painting, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Oxton Flower sign at 96 degrees was hot, yes.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Got that one, and then we're getting planning for, I think, July 28th, a grand reopening ceremony for Marsh Park in Fairbury. And we're planning already. We're trying to get bands lined up and children's activities and all that type of thing. So the park should really look nice by July with all the new grass and everything else.
Awesome. I'm sure we'll have you back before then to talk more about it, right?
Yes, probably so.
Very good. We've been speaking with Dale Maley. He is an author and historian for the city of Fairbury. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Community Forum. I'm Cynthia Groff for Classic Hits 98.9 WJEZ.